Is he? That's what Sister Allen talked about yesterday. Are we going to ignore this Bible? Are we going to ignore these little things it says? Be kind one to another. Be tenderly affectionate one to another. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. You read all these letters of Paul. These are the things Paul preached. This is the gospel that conquered the world. These letters. If you want to know what his gospel was like. What his preaching was like. He told the people these things. Be ye therefore followers of God and dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Let him that stole steal no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You're to put off concerning your old life, the old man which is corrupt, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Speak every man truth. Lie, put lying away from you. That Oriental Occidental town of Ephesus must have had a lot of lying in it. Giving thanks always for all things. Do you suppose if I ignore these things God speaks to me in the Bible, that he's going to come and tell me I'm going to be a great apostle and win 1 million souls for Christ? Hardly. Hardly. Turn over to Deuteronomy. These few words I've been speaking this morning, just informally, these words are that we must have the voice of God in our lives. We must know what God's will is. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses says, verse 9, he talks very strongly, God does, about the abominations of the nations. And you'll notice that these abominations all have to do with contact with the false supernatural, divination, observer of times, enchanters, witches, charmers, consulters with familiar spirits, wizards, necromancers. All of this is false religion, contact with the unseen world, but not with God. And God says these things are an abomination to him, verse 12. And it's because of these very things that God felt just in driving the nations out of Palestine. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God by having nothing to do with the false supernatural. What did these nations do? They hearkened unto these false teachers, false prophets, as it were. They hearkened unto them. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And then he jumps right into this messianic prophecy. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. The reason the word prophet is capitalized is because it is Jesus. In the Hebrew, it comes first, Navi. The very first word in this statement is the word Navi, prophet. A prophet from the midst of thee, from thy brethren, will raise up unto thee, and the last word in the sentence is the Lord thy God, with emphasis, strong emphasis. You are not to listen to these false voices of earth. You are going to listen to a prophet the Lord your God's going to raise up unto you. Unto him ye shall hearken. Now this is in accord with verse 16, with what you asked God yourself. Don't let us hear the voice of God anymore, because we're frightened. And the Lord said they've spoken well. Apparently God then thought it was all right for them to talk that way, because God had a better way to speak to us. I will raise them up a prophet. Just like them, he'll be so like them that when he stands up and utters the divine words of God, they'll say, "Why, ooh, this is just a carpenter's son, isn't he? Where'd he get all this?" "I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them, and it shall come to pass that whoever won't hearken unto my words, which he shall speak, I will require it of him." And then he gravely warns them in verse 20 of speaking words not in his name. Beloved, my whole job is to listen to Jesus speaking to me, isn't it? And Jesus opens his mouth and says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And I'll tell you, that's for me and you. I don't care what Dr. Scofield says about it, he's wrong. The Sermon on the Mount certainly is for us. In fact, he says at the end of it, if any man, he doesn't say Jew or Gentile, he says, if any man hears these words and doesn't do them, he's a fool. God says, it's all right that you said, I don't want to hear me speaking from heaven. Oh, if God would speak to you from heaven and tell you to do something, why, you'd get it down on paper, or you'd get it on tape and you'd say, come and listen to my tape. God spoke to me from heaven. Listen to it. Well, here's a tape right here. And furthermore, God says, I'm going to give you a prophet, and you'll listen to him and he'll tell you what. And Jesus is that prophet, isn't he? Yeah. Our whole job then is to listen to Jesus. If I'm not going to listen, if a Gentile isn't supposed to listen to Jesus, only Jews, there's no salvation then for us Gentiles, is there? Why, of course not. That's the prophecies of the Old Testament, that the Gentiles were to share in the salvation which is of the Jew. Certainly that these commands of Christ, as Mrs. Allen said last night, are to be obeyed. They're to be obeyed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, students, if we could only get alone with God long enough for God to speak to us in this Bible. Get your heart quiet and let God speak to you in the Bible. And listen, if some preacher or teacher or anybody else preaches something else, it says here, that prophet shall die. I dare not prophesy anything else that isn't in the Bible. I've got to take this Bible. This is the basis of our whole message. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? He gives you a test when a prophet speaks something and it doesn't come to pass, then the prophet hasn't spoken by the Lord. My, I've heard people say things, prophesy things, they don't come to pass. Preachers, evangelists come around, you know, and they've got great gifts, and they get all people lined up, and they give them messages, you know, you're going to be a great somebody, and you're going to be a great somebody, and they're all going to be great somebodies, but it doesn't work out. People come to me, they say, Brother Gray, so-and-so, the evangelist was here, and he told me so-and-so, but it hasn't come out to pass. Well, there it is. He's a liar. He's a false prophet. He's not speaking by the Lord at all. I'll tell you, the thing is to stick to the Bible. And if the Bible, and if the message, if the prophecy doesn't make us poor in spirit, it's not from the Lord. If any prophecy or anything from God or comes and it makes us proud and haughty, it's not God, it's the devil. When God speaks, I'll tell you, he brings you down. It doesn't mean you... He makes you go and whine in a corner somewhere. He brings you down. You see the glory of God. And then you have faith in God. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me. Lord, and students, we've got to listen to the Bible. It says, owe no man anything. We've got to do what the Bible says. Before this school is out, let's see that everything is cleared up. Brother Miller asked me to say this, that you cannot get a certificate unless your affairs are cleared up in the office. Now, if you owe anything, go and talk to the office. When the Bible says not to owe no man anything, that doesn't mean that you can't be in the position of owing him, but it means that you must be in a position of having a plan to meet the obligation. See? I don't think that statement is against purchasing things on time. I think our reason tells us time purchasing is a horrible thing, but you always have to do it sometimes. But so long if you have made a great agreement with a person to do certain things, you really aren't in debt. If I promise to pay a man something tomorrow, I am not in debt until tomorrow comes and I haven't paid him. So, because the Bible itself tells the Israelites they could lend to their brethren. They couldn't charge interest, however. I don't think they ever did it. There they were. They wanted the interest. Well, Brother Miller says be sure to go in the office and check and see how your affairs are. And if you owe and you're not able to pay and so on, you should make some arrangement, shouldn't you? You should have an arrangement, know exactly what the situation is and how you're going to meet it. Some plan so the office will know. Now be sure you do that, because no certificate can be given unless the office has had personal contact with every student who is not paid up to date. And also, if you've got any obligations around you, Palominas or Sierra Vista or Bisbee or any place, and you leave here without talking to these people, and you leave here and just leave, you're out of God. You're out of God's will, and you're open to the devil. I'm warning you. And you're not living honestly toward them that are without. The Bible says that, doesn't it? It says, live honestly toward them that are without. That is the people outside the church. Now, there's no use of you thinking you can be anything for God if you won't listen to God and pay attention to Him and hearken diligently to Him. And that's how you're going to get your ministry, obedience. So please do these things. That person you owe money to certainly will adjust himself to you. Anybody will who wants to get his money back and knows that it isn't possible to get it right now will be glad to make some arrangement. And you've got to be honest. And beloved, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I tell you, you can't be a minister and glorify God if you don't live honestly toward those who are without. Paul says, I have a clear conscience before God and man. He stood up and said that. He said, and I'll tell you, you've got to keep your conscience clear before God and man. You're just deceiving yourself if you think you're saved and living in disobedience. I don't know how Christians can do it. I know how Christians can fail because I failed. But you don't have to stay in your failure. Christians can make mistakes. You can make mistakes and get yourself in a fix. That doesn't mean you can't go and try and work something out. And furthermore, when we make mistakes, God will correct the mistake for us if we let Him. No matter what mistake you make. And even if you suffer for it, God will correct it so that it will ultimately issue in His glory. Don't be disturbed over mistakes. We get into things sometimes. Make decisions and make mistakes and go in the wrong direction and perhaps create bills and so on we shouldn't have done. We've made a mistake. But that doesn't mean we have to stay in that mistake. We can confess, repent, we can go to the person if somebody else is implicated, and we can do the very best we can in the natural to make arrangements, and God will vindicate you and back you up and get you out of it. Didn't it say He would get you up out of a horrible pit? I don't know of any more horrible pit than to owe money. The biggest thrill I get in my life is when I pay a bill, even if I don't. giving all my money away. I got a thrill out of paying a bill. I get a thrill out of getting all out of the way. You feel clean. You feel right. We should be right in the eyes of men. Jesus doesn't say, let your bad works be manifested. Jesus says, let your light shine. People will not glorify God in you if you're not honest with them. And so, let's hear the voice of God coming to us.